Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We start off this segment, though, by going to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we are joined by Jim Bowden, SiriusXM MLB writer, but we know him better as a former general manager of the Reds and the Nationals. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it, Jim.
My pleasure. Great to be back with you.
All right, so let's just kind of dive into what's going on with baseball right now. And the Astros are speaking this morning. Do you feel any remorse from this team? Do you think that that they truly and genuinely feel sorry about what they did and what they may have done to the game as far as cheating is concerned?
Well, I know Carlos Correa does, and Carlos Correa is doing the best job of all the Astro players right now. I don't think there's any question that he is genuinely being remorseful, taking responsibility, accountability, admitting that it taints what they did in 2017. He's being real about it, and that's going to play really well for the public. And so for Correa to come out there and take this angle is important. The owner, Jim Crane, in his press conference really was embarrassing, and I really couldn't believe what I was listening to. Jim Crane in the press conference said, and I'm going to quote him, "Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series. We'll leave it at that." Like, does he really know that little about baseball? Like, that's unbelievable that he said that. Then he went on to say that the players are not at fault. Like, what? I mean, the investigation was clear that it was, quote, player-driven. That's what the report said. And he's trying to absolve the players as the owner of the team and not apologizing on their behalf as the owner of the team. Like, that is just so far. I don't get it. You know, it'd be like a leader telling his employees, go in and rob this bank. And so all the employees go rob the bank and they come back out and someone says, well, the people that robbed the bank aren't at fault. It's the person who directed them to do it. What are you talking about? And the manager of the team didn't even direct the players. He just didn't stop it. So I just can't believe the owner was saying the things he was with a straight face in this last hour down there in West Palm Beach. But at least the players are owning it. Guys like Altuve, Springer, Correa, Josh Reddick stayed at their lockers for 30 to 45 minutes after, taking the questions, owning it, apologizing, and they're going to try to move on. So at least I think the way the players handled today, especially Correa, is what I think we all wanted and expected long ago, but at least it happened today. And I think what the owner did, quite frankly, he should be ashamed of himself. And I think maybe the commissioner should have been next to him, because I can't even believe how he handled that press conference today.
Jim, what happens to the players here moving forward? Are they forever tainted by this? You know, Altuve's put up phenomenal stats in his career. I think it's probably fair to wonder, how long has he been getting additional help, and can they move on from this? How do they do that?
Well, they'll be tended for their whole career. I mean, and I'm going to use the example of Ryan Braun when he said, I didn't use PEDs, and then he blamed it on the person that took the test, and then we all found out that wasn't the case. Ryan Braun was able to overcome it and keep playing. He was always loved in Milwaukee, but it taints you. It's there forever. It doesn't go away. I mean, you can get past it. And I think these players will get past it in a few years. I do. But no one is going to look at the 2017 World Championship and legitimize it. Nobody. And no one's not going to look and understand when they look at their numbers that they cheated for a long period of time. So that's going to stay with them. Now, can they overcome it? Sure they can. I don't think there's any doubt they can. And they will. But they're going to have a rough year ahead of them. They're going to hear it from every visiting city they go to. If they want to go get a meal at a restaurant, good luck. I was with Jose Altuve in the postseason when the Astros were playing the Yankees, and I was at an Italian restaurant. He was at the next table. When he got up to leave, he got a standing ovation from the New York fans in a New York restaurant. What do you think is going to happen when Jose Altuve goes and has a meal at the same restaurant this year? I bet he doesn't go to that restaurant, but I guarantee you the response is going to be a lot different. And the victims in this thing, I mean, when you talk to members of the Dodgers or the Yankees, on or off the record, to listen to the bitterness that they've got, I mean, it's not going to go away. And they're going to be pitchers that throw at these guys. But they have alienated a lot of their peers. Then it's going to be tough to completely overcome it. I think the attitude from day one should have been what Correa did today. I think it's unfortunate they all waited to do it the same day. I think it would have played out a lot better if, after the investigation came out, if each player walked to the podium, admitted it, apologized, owned it, be remorseful, admit that it's a reason why you won, and ask for forgiveness. I think that would have played a lot better a month ago than it does now, but at least they're doing it now.
Jim, I think Jeff and I were talking about this yesterday, that I'm just so surprised they were able to pull this off on the road, knowing that, you know, when you're on the road, that there are clubhouse guys in there, and that that those guys are normally from the home city, and I know they're getting paid, but no one's going to say anything, and that other teams knew what they were doing, and you brought it up about throwing at them now. I can't believe that these guys didn't know that they were cheating, especially on the road, and that guys weren't getting thrown at last year. Why do you think that didn't happen? Other teams knew. They knew.
You know, everyone suspected it. You know, when you talk to players, they suspected they did it, but no one caught them. No one knew for sure. Alex Cora knew for sure, managing Boston. But Mike Fiers knew, right? But the industry didn't know until Mike Fiers came out and said, hey, this happened. And you investigate it and you prove it. And the last thing you want to do in life in general is accuse someone of doing something without evidence or proof. Like, we can suspect certain guys use PEDs, but without proof, I'm not going to sit there and say we got three guys in the Hall of Fame that used, even though I might think that there's a high probability that three of the guys that are in there, I think, used during their playing day, but I don't need proof or evidence. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to try to retaliate. And I think that was the case here. And now it's different because now we know for sure that this occurred at the level that it did, and especially at home. And you look at how the Astros played at home and how their home numbers were so ridiculously superb. Of course they were. They knew what was coming, and they were able to succeed much better at home than on the road because of that special camera they had in center field that they didn't have on the road. But their home road splits were, those numbers are loud.
Jim Bowden joining us, former GM of the Reds, the Nationals with SiriusXM. What recourse does Major League Baseball have now, Jim? Should Rob Manfred strip them of their title? What can they possibly do now to make it any better?
They've done what they're going to do. There's not going to be any more. And the whole idea was, we'll give the players immunity. We'll get the GM and the manager fired, two of the best in the game, and we'll let every GM and manager know that if your team does this, you've lost your career. So do whatever you want to do, guys, but you better make sure it doesn't happen because you're the two that are going to go down. I mean, that's the strategy they used. They're not going to do anything different. He's not going to circle back and do anything more than what he did. He's made his decision on how to handle it, and it's now, you know, now it's a matter of healing. I would have vacated the 2017 World Championship. I would not have given it to the Dodgers or the Yankees or anybody else, but I would have vacated it. I return the rings, return the trophy. I can't take the parade or the White House visit back, but I can certainly do the rest. I would vacate it. I would. You know, I remember back during one of the strike years in 1994, the season was never completed, and we were in first place at the time by a half a game, and we weren't given the championship of the division. Well, I understand that. Of course not. So in 1994, right, maybe we could have won the World Series that year. We were in first place. We were going to go to the postseason. But here's the thing. Nobody won the World Series in 94 when you look up in the history books. There is no winner. The Expos had the best record in the game that year. So, you know, when I look at 97, I'm not going to credit Houston in my mind. I think baseball should have vacated it. Why not? I mean, you found them cheating, and now they've all admitted it. It's not just evidence and proof. The players today all admitted it. So we know for sure that it's factual. I would have vacated it, but they're not going to. They made that decision just like they're not going to take and change any of the numbers for the guys that tested positive for PEDs. Those numbers are going to continue for Alex Rodriguez and everybody else that tested positive, and that's how baseball is positioned themselves, and so we have to deal with it. That's it.
It's interesting. I totally agree with everything you just said, and I was thinking of that from the Indians' perspective during the strike year where the Indians had a potential to do the same thing, and I said, you know, there's no World Series champion that year. So why couldn't you? And you, I think you're dead on that. I just want to flip to the new season here. What are your thoughts on the three batter minimum or the three pitchers and the new rule with that and some of these new rules that we're going to see this season that will change the game a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for moving the game along. You know, and the three. If a major league pitcher can't get three hitters out in a row, then he shouldn't be a major league pitcher, right? I mean, that's how I feel about that. I don't want to go watch a lefty come in to face a lefty, then a righty to face a righty, then a lefty to face a lefty. In those 20 minutes, everybody's turned the channel and they're watching something different, or they leave their seat, or they're back on their iPhone or their iPad. I mean, we don't need to keep delaying the game. We don't need this many pitching changes. So, I mean, I'm for that. Changing from 30 seconds to 20 seconds, how much time the managers have to make a decision. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Make it 10 seconds if you want. I mean, I would prefer that the managers have access to no video. And if you want to do a challenge, you should do a challenge right now, live with your eyeballs. And if it doesn't work, fine. I'd like to see that speed along. But I'm all for the game trying to make these changes to move the game along, improve the pace. You know, this generation, they don't have the patience. They like instant information right away. And this game takes too long. And the fans know it takes too long. So you can improve the game without affecting the quality or the brand of the game. And I think these small little adjustments that don't seem like a big deal, I think they're good for the game. I do. And by the way, you can still bring a lefty in to get a lefty out. If there's two outs in the seventh inning, you can bring a lefty in to get the lefty out. You know, it's his third out. He walks off the field and only has to face one batter. But if you start an inning, to have to face three batters unless there's an injury, I think it's a good rule.
Jim Bowden joining us, former GM of the Reds and the Nationals. As a former GM of the Reds, you have better working knowledge, I would think, of the Indians than most folks did, just being in state and observing what they're doing. What do you think about the way the organization has positioned itself, Jim, moving forward, where you trade Trevor Bauer to your former club, Cincinnati? He makes a lot of money, but a top-line pitcher. Corey Kluber not here, coming off an injury, and they're going with the young starting staff and hoping they can continue to develop that. Do you like that approach?
Yeah, I do, because Cleveland is realistic to you know, their financial situation, but also, you know, they don't want to do a rebuild. They don't want to be the Royals or the Tigers. They want to be competitive year in, year out. And to do that, you know, you got to trade guys when, you know, they get too expensive or when they get past their prime years. Now, you know, you look at the rotation that the Indians have right now. I just want to talk about the top three, obviously, Clevinger, Bieber, and Carrasco. I mean, all three could be Cy Young, top five Cy Young guys this year. You know, who's got a better rotation than those three guys? I mean, maybe the Washington Nationals do. I mean, there's a few clubs, but even trading Kluber and Bauer, you still got three of the best in the game. Clevinger and Bieber for sure, and if Carrasco's healthy, he's right there. And then Savali's decent as your fourth guy. He was impressive last year in his 10 starts. Plesac should keep getting better. So, you know, to be able to continue and maintain a rotation like this after trading Kluber and Bauer, you know, it's what you have to do if you want to keep competing. And I like the fact they went out and got Emmanuel Clase. You know, you put him with Karacek getting to hand, and of course you got Witkin down there. So they keep trying to add arms. I love that. I think the only thing I'm disagreeing on where they stand is Lindor. I think you got to pay Lindor, and I think you got to pay him more than Machado and more than Harper, and I know it's going to hurt. But, you know, we should be painting him where LeBron James' painting was on that building. I mean, this guy's the franchise. He represents everything right about baseball. You know, when I was GM of the Reds, I made sure Barry Larkin finished his career in the Natty, right? When I was in Washington, I made sure Ryan Zimmerman, the face of the team, was there duration. You know, Lindor's only 26 years old. He hits for average, hits for power, has range to both sides. He does everything. And I know it's painful to allocate that kind of money to one player, but Cleveland can afford to do that for one player, not two, not three, but for one. And he's the face of the franchise. And so I'm hoping that they change their mind on that.
Hey, just one last question. Beyond the Lindor situation, when you look at the Indians front office and then you look around the league and see how many guys have come through this organization, what when I say Indians front office, what does it mean to you? Because I think there are times that we sit here in Cleveland and sometimes people have a different perspective. So when I say, you know, basically just Paul Dolan, Chris Antonetti, and Mike Chernoff, what goes through your mind?
First class, hardworking, transparent. They care. They're genuine. They've got passion, and they make difficult decisions in a difficult marketplace financially. and have done a really good job, you know, and so that's kind of how I view it. You know, I mean, people don't talk in Cleveland about picking up Oscar Mercado. How about that trade at the deadline 2 years ago? And here's a guy that might be 2020 this year in terms of homers and steals. So, you know, within their infrastructure, they grind and they work extremely hard and they do care. And whatever resources that they're given from above, they do the best job that they possibly can, and they're well organized. So that's kind of my view of the front office.
Jim, we totally appreciate all of your time today and your perspective. We'd love to have you on again sometime in the near future. But thank you, and thanks for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure. Happy Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday to you. All right, Jim Bouton, nice enough to join us here from SiriusXM, MLB writer, former general manager of the Reds and the Nationals, and, of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll talk more about what we broached those subjects with the former general manager, and I also want to get into some of these rule changes for Major League Baseball because they became official today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.